Off the ball.
Rugby.
No, but he apologised for the first one. I think that's where you have to get rid of that in rugby. You know, tucked shoulder to the head. That's, yeah, because then guys aren't going to jackal, so, you know, that just, my only thing for Leo now was to say sorry for that.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. World Cup Daily on Off the Ball. With Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Hello and welcome along to today's World Cup Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up, the tournament finally gets underway with one of the co-hosts, Mexico, taking on South Africa at the Azteca Stadium. FIFA President Gianni Infantino calls for people to chill and relax after Somali referee Omar Artan was denied entry to the US. And England finished their preparations for the tournament in a weather-affected clash against Costa Rica in Orlando. But first, tonight, it's the first of 104 games at the biggest ever World Cup across three countries. Mexico, who hosted the World Cup in 1970 and 1986, kick off the tournament at the Azteca Stadium in the south of Mexico City. They play South Africa in a repeat of the opening game of the 2010 World Cup in South Africa, which ended in a 1-1 draw. The second game in Group A will kick off in the early hours of the morning. South Korea take on Ireland's conquerors, Czech Republic, in Guadalajara. That one gets underway at 3 a.m. A White House official claims Somali referee Omar Artan was denied entry to the US due to an association with the suspected members of terror organisations. He was interviewed for 11 hours on arrival in Miami before he was made to leave the country. Artan says he was questioned over links to militant group Al-Shabaab, but he says he knows nothing about them. Meanwhile, FIFA President Gianni Infantino has told people to chill about the controversial topics that have dominated the build-up to this tournament. He says it's unfortunate that Artan was denied entry. Others have faced issues with visas. Ticket prices continue to cause much debate. Infantino says there's only so much FIFA can do.
We try always to find solutions, but then we need to respect that we are not the kings of the world who can rule over governments and police forces and I don't know what. We are a sports organization. We try to do our best with the means that we have.
On those ticket prices, Infantino says the pricing for the World Cup is fair. The tournament organizers are facing legal action with a subpoena brought by New York and New Jersey over ticketing practices. Ahead of the tournament opener in Mexico City, Infantino said that if they had sold tickets too cheaply, they would have become inflated on resale sites.
Where would the money go then? Well, to those who organize secondary market or black market activities and not to football. So every dollar that comes in goes back into the development of football.
Football broadcaster Antonio Rosique joined Owen Shea on the football show last night to give the perspective from Mexico. And with Mexico City littered by roadblocks by teachers protesting for better pay conditions, Rosique explained why the Mexican people want to be proud of the show they put on for the world.
We want to feel proud. And right now we have this feeling that the government didn't do enough to have the airport in perfect circumstance, in perfect shape, to have all the avenues and to have everything in perfect shape. So that's my feeling and the general feeling. That, oh, come on, you had eight years, you know, to build everything up. And right now you are, for example, 2 days ago, I used the airport and they're still working over there. No, it's not 100% finished in that sense. They're doing some makeup. So that's the feeling. But the feeling is that the government could have done a better job to make us shine. We want to feel proud. And we're going to do everything we have in our hearts and in our souls to make all the tourists feel fantastic here. You know us as Mexicans, we like to be a good host. We have a great city, a fun city with a lot of music, color, food. And they're going to find it. Because yeah, we like it and we love it.
I have absolutely no doubt that that's going to be the case. And to be honest with you, the real mood for most of the Irish is just the fear of missing out, thinking of what could have been had Ireland actually qualified, because it would have been a very Mexican experience for the Irish fans. But it's interesting what you say there about the government in terms of missing the opportunity to make the country shine. To what extent was their focus diverted by the idea of security and ensuring that there was a big security presence and an army presence, in fact, around the country. Because certainly when the Republic of Ireland were playing their playoff back in March, it was shortly after the killing of El Mencho and the violence in Jalisco.
Yeah.
And I presume that had a lingering impact on the focus of this government towards this World Cup.
Yeah, that's totally true. I mean, that year has been rough for us. This year, last year, and but specifically this year has been rough in terms of dismantling these cartels, right? And so I can understand that there are bigger problems in Mexico than hosting a World Cup, for sure. And priorities and necessities, that's for sure. But I know the Mexicans. I know these people. And I think we could have done better. I'm sure that for tomorrow and the next days, the next weeks, it's going to work. It's going to work. We have all two very contrasting things. The Mexican problems, but as well, the Mexican heart. And the Mexican heart, you know, with this colorful, it's cheerful, it's hospitality, it's great food, it's great tourism, great destinations. We like to have people here, and it's going to be very fun at the same time.
And if you want to hear that back, you can do so now in your OTB football podcast feed. Meanwhile, Donald Trump says the US is working hard to make sure the right people enter the country. The American president says FIFA are already delighted with the event.
Most successful World Cup they've ever had.
Exactly.
They've never sold tickets at that level. They've never sold that many tickets so quickly. It's amazing because you don't think of soccer. We use the word football, soccer, right? But you don't think of soccer in this country.
Yesterday on Off the Ball's Inside the Odds, Michael McCarthy, Matthew Brennan and David Wilson sat down and they discussed some of the opening games of the World Cup. Scotland take on Haiti in the early hours of Sunday morning, and the three lads have some trepidation for Steve Clarke's men, who are in the same group as well as Brazil and Morocco.
And Scotland, I would worry for them defensively. If you've got Anthony Ralston and Grant Hanley still in your squad at this stage, yeah. I very much worry for them. They're goalkeepers. None of them are any good. Angus Gunn, not great. Liam Kelly, okay. Craig Gordon, 43. Like, I would have serious question marks over Scotland. Especially defensively. Like, they've obviously lost Billy Gilmore, so they've lost someone who can really keep the ball, a wee technician in midfield. They replaced him with Tyler Fletcher, who's only played two senior games before this.
I don't think he'll feature too heavy.
I don't think he'll feature too heavy.
Look at like Lewis Ferguson, and there's a lot of
Kenny McLean.
Very decent players without anybody. Like, they'll rely a lot on McTominay and the X factor that McGinn brings you.
Yeah.
And Andy Robertson, if he still has it in him, obviously will have a huge part to play.
Mm-hmm.
But I think after that, it's almost like that they're, I think you're right. I think from midfield up, as opposed to including in, certainly not in the centre of defence and the goalkeeper. But outside of that, I think what they have is a very high floor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't think they're missing a lot of good pros, you know what I mean? And you blend an international team together that has that kind of like manic support of like a load of lunatics. Like, Scotland took over the Euros a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
From what I saw in that Bolivia game, there's a lot of them over in America at the moment as well, you know? So I do feel like that there'll be a kind of an element of a bit of buzz around Scotland that I think will help. I'm going to be in Edinburgh on Saturday night, so this is where I'm at.
You're hoping there'll be buzz.
I'm thinking I might be getting like a McGinn jersey or something. I don't know.
If you want to hear that back in full, you can do so now in your OTB football podcast feed for free. Former US goalkeeper Brad Friedel joined Owen on the football show last night. The former Liverpool, Blackburn, Aston Villa and Tottenham keeper played at two World Cups, including a run to the quarterfinals in 2002. As the US is one of the hosts this summer, Friedel recalled playing against the 2002 co-host South Korea in Daegu.
Just to go back to 2002 once again, because for me that's actually a mirror image of maybe what the United States are going to experience in this tournament, because you played against that South Korea team. I think it was in Daegu, your fixture in the group stages, and obviously they benefited hugely from their home advantage throughout that tournament, one of the great underdog stories we've seen in the history of the tournament. Just what is it like, particularly as a goalkeeper, when you can kind of absorb a little bit more than the outfield players throughout the game? just what is it like, and the real level of intimidation that goes on when you're a visitor playing a home nation in a World Cup?
Well, I don't know if it was gamesmanship or just unluck of the draw, but that venue during that tournament, that was the hottest venue we played in, and the kickoff time was right when the sun was beating down. I'm not sure if they allowed any American supporters in the ground. It was just a sea of red in there. Very respectful supporters, South Korean supporters, but very, very loud, very intimidating on that front. Not intimidating as far as physically against you, but it was they were a 12th man. That's for sure. And they encouraged their team, and that South Korean team, Gus Hiddink had them so fit. They could run for forever. At the end of that game, we were very fit, but we were spent. We, like, everyone used the last bit of energy. It seemed like they could go play another 90 minutes. They were just walking off the pitch, seemed fresh as a daisy. So that was a tough old game. That was probably, I know, beating Portugal and getting 3 points is huge. But getting a point in that game, that was probably more difficult than the Portugal game.
World Cup Daily and Off the Ball is brought to you by Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026. Smell your best when you look your worst. Netherlands captain Virgil van Dijk says winning the World Cup is their ultimate aim after finishing as runners-up on 3 occasions. The Dutch face Japan in their Group F opener on Sunday before games against Sweden and Tunisia. Van Dijk knows preparation is key to get off to a good start at the tournament.
It will be a difficult test, but if you want to achieve something, and that's something that we all dream and want, we have to be ready to fight. And this week will be very vital in terms of that.
England won 3-0 against Costa Rica in their final World Cup warm-up match. Declan Rice, Anthony Gordon and Ollie Watkins scored the goals for Thomas Tuchel's side. The England boss was pleased with the way his team dealt with an hour-long delay to kick off due to storms in Orlando.
We just know that things can come, and we know that how we want to react, calm and focused and relaxed. We want to focus on the stuff that we can influence, and we did this today on a high level.
Declan Rice says he's returned to full fitness and the Arsenal midfielder was happy to get some game time before the tournament.
Yeah, it's been really good. Feel really fit, feel strong. Had a couple of niggles throughout the season that I've managed really well with the physios and the manager. So yeah, I've come here in a really, really good place. I feel really confident. I think winning that Premier League for me is, I've come here with a sense of confidence, like a spring in my step.
Manchester City have stepped up their interest in Nottingham Forest midfielder Elliot Anderson. It's believed they've tabled a bid of £106 million for the England international. That would eclipse what Arsenal paid to get Declan Rice from West Ham. City's own transfer record is £100 million, which they paid for Jack Grealish in 2021. Martin O'Neill has been confirmed as Celtic's permanent manager following 2 interim spells in charge last season, which ended in a Premiership and Scottish Cup double. The 74-year-old has agreed to stay on a 1-year deal with the option of a further year after talks with Celtic's major shareholder Dermot Desmond. The 74-year-old had 2 spells as interim manager last season. In total, he won 27 games from 35 and had 4 draws. Celtic beat Hearts 3-1 on the final day of the season to retain the Scottish Premiership title. And 7 days later, they won the Scottish Cup final against Dunfermline. Kieran McKenna has stepped down as Ipswich boss and will take a break from football. The Fermanagh man had been linked to a number of jobs, but he won't be taking over at Fulham or anywhere else in the near future. McKenna, who guided Ipswich to 3 promotions in the last 4 years, including the most recent back to the Premier League, says he wants to dedicate time to his family. Wolves have sacked Rob Edwards after just 7 months in the role. The 43-year-old was instrumental in signing Kieran Trippier and Raul Jimenez on free transfers this week, but they were relegated to the Championship last season. It's reported Portuguese manager Cesar Peixoto is being lined up to replace Edwards. And as Ireland look enviously on as the World Cup begins this evening, the green scene trio of Matthew Brennan, Ben Symes and David Wilson explain why there are things to be positive about for the future of Irish football.
As far as the caps being handed out too early, I think it's a double-edged sword, really, in that it's great to see an influx of new players playing for Ireland. There, of course, are players there who will never get another cap again, and that is only natural unless it's in a camp like this, if we do have one going forward. Mm. I don't think it's a bad thing, but I wouldn't have any issue with it being flagged as a kind of a warning thing to be like, no. Look, a lot of these guys won't be in squads again. But I think the main thing about it is it's good for a lot of these players, particularly of of a nature who are in the middle, who at least for them to be recognised for what they're doing and know that they're doing something right. And it can give these guys a bit of a G up and a sense of purpose that maybe they wouldn't have otherwise. It's a great thing for League of Ireland too, because the likes of Keane Levy's going to go for a few more quid now if he does want to leave St. Pat's, which of course is a good thing. You know, an international cap adds a few quid to your bonus and or to your transfer.
You're dangling a carrot in front of those players. So you're thinking 2 years' time, hopefully Ireland have qualified for a major tournament. And if you're a player like, I don't know, Joe Hodge, let's say, and you have a couple of decent maybe seasons, you might be still abroad. Like you're playing way off Broadway as regards the casual Irish football fan. But if you're thinking, I want to be one of those centre field spots, which they're all opening up for grabs, you don't know what the likes of Conor Coventry or Will Smallbone or whoever else is going to do. So you're dangling that carrot in front of them. You're also involving them in like what the process of it is like when you're training with the rest of the players, when you're in camp with the rest of the players. I guess the logistics sides of it as well. You're just learning like what it's like. Okay, they've played underage internationals, but this is different at senior level.
And that's also available for you to listen back to for free in your OTB Football podcast feed. Now, that's about all we have time for in today's World Cup Daily. I'm Phil Egan, back with more tomorrow.
World Cup Daily on Off the Ball with Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.